If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter. We'll look in verse 17. You know, in verses 14 and 15, we're talking about the Lord Jesus here and His purpose. And what is the ultimate goal that He has for each and every one of us. And that's what I want us to look into. You know, in verse 14 it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying to the people, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." You know, Jesus immediately comes out and as He starts His ministry, launches His ministry is to let us know that He has come to bring the kingdom of God back into the earth. Amen. When Adam sinned, what Adam lost was access to the kingdom of God. Because he was separated from God. His sin separated him. That's why before, when God would come down in the cool of the day, they would walk together in the garden, talk out everything, and Adam would walk in the revelation knowledge and relationship with God. But then when Adam and Eve sinned and God showed up, they went and hid themselves. Well, what does that mean? That means that their fellowship with God was broken. And so God, you know, He began to talk to them, and instead of faith, they're operating in fear. Instead of walking in the presence of God comfortably, they're now uncomfortable with the presence of God. Why? Because the kingdom of darkness had taken over, and they were separated from God. Because the Bible says, to whom you're overcome, you become a slave to that person you're overcome by. And so whenever Adam allowed Satan to talk him into going against God, there's never any, I'm just in the middle of the road, some people say. No, you're not. You're either in or you're out. There is no middle of the road with God. He said, you're either with me, you're against me. You're for me or you're not. Amen. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're not. There are no good people. You're either made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ or you're a sinner. Amen. Are you listening to me? And so Adam couldn't just be, well, you know, I just choose to be in the middle and do my own thing. Well, that's what the devil told him. He said, well, if you eat that fruit, you'll be like God. In other words, you can just do your own thing then. But all of a sudden, Adam found out that he couldn't do his own thing. He got kicked out of the garden. Satan became the god of this world system. And the next thing you know, murder takes place. Then hatred and anger and all the things that the devil brings is there. So man lost access to the kingdom of God. But thank God when Jesus Christ comes to the earth, what is He doing? The first thing He does is He begins to preach the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, gospel is not something that's going to happen. Gospel is a report of something that's already happened. You understand what I'm saying? The word gospel comes from a Greek word which means a report from the battlefield. Hallelujah. In other words, whenever the king would send out his army and they would go defeat the enemy, before they would take over, they'd want the king to come in so they could crown him and he could take credit for the victory. And so they would send a runner back to the king with the gospel of what had taken place. Or the good news of what had taken place. And so Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, He's saying, it's at hand. It's not going to come. It came with me. Amen? And so He brings the kingdom of God back to the earth so that we can now repent, which means change your mind and direction and purpose and begin to think differently, live differently, act differently, and go in a different way. Amen? So He brings the right and the privilege back to us of getting back into the kingdom of God. But now you look here in verse 17, and it says this, "Then Jesus said to them," talking about Andrew and Simon, He says this, "Follow Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Notice that. Jesus then turns to the first group of people that He begins to call into this ministry with Him. And He says, if you'll follow Me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. In other words, I'll turn your life around. And then the Message Bible says it this way. Jesus said to them, come with Me. I will make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. See, they were fishermen, so He's using an example to them or a type that they can grasp and understand. Notice He said, I will make you a new kind of fisherman. I will show you how to catch men and women. Now, here's the ultimate goal of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this earth. His ultimate goal is not just to get you into the kingdom of God, but to mature you into a place where you can follow Him, do His works, and help bring other people into the kingdom of God. Come on, give me a good amen. See, God's purpose is not for you to get into the kingdom of God, hang on and hold out till you go to heaven someday. Amen. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth to bring the kingdom of God to the earth so that you and I could go to heaven. I tell people quite jokingly, I've said it for a lot of times, many times over the years, I've said, you know, if it's God's will for you to get saved and go to heaven, then whenever we baptize you, we're going to pray just a little extra long. Wait till you quit bubbling, say amen, send you right on. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you know we probably wouldn't get but one person baptized in that service? No, you'd be kicking and screaming and hollering and trying to get out from under that water, wouldn't you? Why? Because you didn't get saved to go to heaven. If you did, you'd just lay there and take your big gulp and go. No, we get saved to get free from our sins, and that's the first part of it. But praise God, the second part is this. The Lord's ultimate goal for you is to bring you into a place where He changes you and transforms you to the point that you can reproduce for Him in the kingdom of God. Amen? He wants you to share with your friends and people that you know the good news of what happened to you and let them know that it can happen with them. Praise God. Somebody says, yeah, but that's with the Lord in the beginning of His ministry. Well, you're there in the first chapter of Mark. Turn back about a page to Matthew, and you'll find the last chapter of Matthew, the 28th chapter. And here in Matthew 28, Matthew is recording the end of the Lord's ministry here on the earth. Amen? Personally. Because right after this in Matthew 28, He's caught up into heaven and He's turning His ministry over to the church. So what is the ministry to the church? Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them as saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now the word authority there means delegated influence, means jurisdiction or the power to act. So the Lord is saying here, all authority, all jurisdiction, all the power to act, both in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Amen? He's the authority, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord, and He has the authority and the jurisdiction of heaven and earth. That's where His influence is. Amen? Now notice what He does with that authority. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age. Notice this. The Lord said, until this age is over, here's my ultimate goal for every person who gives his life to me, that you come in under my authority, and then you take what I teach you and go share with somebody else. Amen? That you go make disciples also. Somebody says, yeah, but that's for preachers. No, it's not for preachers. It's for believers. Amen. How do you know? Well, we won't take time to look at it, but in Mark chapter 16, 15 through 20, Mark records the Lord's great commission to the church, and he tells everybody to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes and baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be condemned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? In other words, I have become a believer, and since now I am a believer, I'm in the kingdom of God. Jesus is my Lord and King, and Jesus is Lord over heaven and earth, and He has jurisdiction on heaven and earth, and He has the right and the power to act in behalf of the Father. Now the Lord is delegating that right, that power, that influence, and that authority to me so that just as if Jesus Himself were here, I can now go in His name and do His works also, praise God. Come on, that ought to excite you, praise God. You see, whenever I was first called into the ministry, you know, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. I was preaching all I knew to preach. And I can remember, you know, getting a hold of Acts 1:8 and getting the power of God. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not so that I could speak in tongues, but so I could have power to witness. Because whenever I gave my heart to the Lord, it was so exciting to me that my sins were washed away. I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I wanted everybody to know. And since I was playing football at the time in college, guess who I witnessed to the most? I witnessed all the football team. Hallelujah. They all knew where I stood. They all knew what I believed. They all knew what I was doing. They all knew where I was at. And they knew what the conversation was going to be if they talked to me. Hallelujah. Somebody says, boy, I bet they didn't have nothing to do with you. No, me and a friend of mine won 2/3 of our football team to the Lord our senior year. Hallelujah. Amen. And the ones we didn't win, let us pray for them. Praise God. Because you see, you and I are believers, and you and I are citizens of the kingdom of God, and Jesus is our Lord. And its ultimate goal for you and me is to go from being a consumer Christian to someone who can actually sow out and invest into a Christian. Amen? In other words, God, it's just not me all the time needing prayer. You want me to move to a place where I can be the one giving the prayer. It's not just me needing encouragement to serve God. It is me being the encourager to help somebody else to serve God. Amen? And that ought to be every believer's goal in your life, because that's the Lord's ultimate goal for you. Praise God. Now, let's go over into 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Let's see what the Apostle Paul, the apostle who is the apostle to the Gentiles, he told us that. He had been called of the Lord Jesus Christ to take this gospel to the Gentile world. So that means he's speaking to us. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and just to save us some time, I'm going to read it to you first of all in the Amplified Bible. You can follow along. But beginning in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul writes and says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Notice he says, I like to amplify because it says, if any person is engrafted into Christ, to engraft or graft something in, that means you have to make a specific place for it. Amen. See, if you take a limb here and you want to graft that limb into a tree, you have to bore into that tree and you have to do certain things and make a certain fit, and then you put that limb in and that limb begins to draw from the sap that's in that tree, and it comes alive and it begins to partake of the tree's life. Amen? And that limb stays alive because it's been grafted in and becomes a part of the tree. But you had to make a place for it because there wasn't a place for it. It wasn't a natural limb that just grew out. It had to be put in. Amen? And so the Lord is saying this, you and I were not a part of the original natural seed of Abraham, but God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this earth, and Jesus died for us, bore the curse of the law for you and me, and raised us up, and now through Christ we get in on the blessing of the Lord, and now when we accept Christ as Lord, He's already got a place made out for us to stick into. Hallelujah. Amen? We get to be a part of Him, and it's a special part that He made just for you. Now let's read on. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ. See, the Lord's doing this. This isn't you and me doing this. That's why works doesn't get you in. This is why being good enough doesn't get you in. Amen. These are things that God has to do for us and has done for us. This is the gospel. This is the message of what is now available to us. Look what he says. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of restoration of favor. We are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Now, we read down through that, and I read it through, didn't stop, and that's why a lot of times we just read it and then we don't get anything out of it. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? I don't know, but I'm one. Amen. I'm so glad for what God did for me. Well, what did God do for you? I don't know, but it was great. Amen. Well, you need to stop and read, because there's two great things here that you need to get a hold of. Two great truths in these verses. If there are many more, but there are two really great truths here that you really need to get a hold of in your life. The first great truth is who you are in Christ and what He's done for you. Amen. Look what he's done for you. Verse 17, he has engrafted you into Christ and made you a new creation. Your old spiritual, moral, whatever decayed self that you were before you asked Jesus come in your life is gone, put away forever, and you are a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner, got saved by grace, and now I'm a new creation in Christ. I was stuck and connected to and couldn't get away from the devil, but Jesus came in and cut me off of that vine and made a place and put me in his. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God did a work in me, brought me to him. Then it says this, it was God in Christ Jesus reconciling me. See, I couldn't reconcile myself to God. I couldn't make it right with God. What does it reconcile mean? I've been received into favor and brought into harmony with God. Come on, folks, you have favor with God. You're in harmony with God. You're not out of step with God. You're in harmony with God. You're one spirit with the Lord. That's good news tonight. That ought to get rid of insecurity out of your life. That ought to get rid of condemnation out of your life. That ought to get rid of everything that is hindering you because I am in harmony with God. I'm reconciled to God. Hallelujah. But let's go on down to this next verse. It says it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling, restoring us to favor. And then he says this, not holding against us our trespasses, but canceling them and notice that, setting us free from everything. So the first thing I've got to get a hold of is this. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm reconciled to God. God has blotted out my past, and every time a thought comes up of you don't deserve this because you know what you did, I just stop and say, shut up, devil. That is not who I am. That's who I was, but it's under the blood of Jesus. I am reconciled to God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I'm living in who I am now, not who I was then. Amen? That old person, yeah, he didn't deserve it, but this person gets it. Hallelujah. Amen? Come on. Because I'm walking with God now, and I'm not looking back. And folks, when that becomes real to you, the sin of going back and the desire to go back and the lust of that sin to pull you back in no longer has any hold on you. Why would I want to give up what God has given me now to go back into the junk that God delivered me out of? Well, yeah, but I could get so high. I'm going to tell you what. You get around me, I'll lay hands on you. We'll pray in tongues for about an hour and a half, and I'll get you higher than you ever been on drugs. Come on now. Huh? I'll show you what real high is. Hallelujah. When you get up tomorrow morning, you won't have a headache, a stomach ache, or any other kind of ache. You'll be happy. Hallelujah. Because God gives us a fresh anointing. Amen? So the first thing, if I'm going to walk in this, is I have to accept the good news for myself that, praise God, I can turn away from my past and I can be reconciled to God and I can walk in harmony with God and I have favor with God and I'm a child of God and God's not holding my past against me. So therefore, I can approach God without a sense of guilt, inferiority, condemnation, or anything else. I can come to God with boldness and confidence. Hallelujah. And every time the enemy tries to bring up my past, I just rebuke it and go on. Hallelujah. I'm not living. I mean, this is the thing, folks. Be as smart as Detroit. What are you talking about, Pastor? Have you ever noticed, you know, Detroit was at one time known as the car capital of the world. You know, they produce all, that's where all the, you know, the our American Motors and all this stuff, you know, produced all the things. And you know what? These car manufacturers, they're smart enough to know this. They put this huge, big window in the front of the car. And a real small mirror for the back of the car. How? Why do they do that? Because it's more important what you're seeing in front of you than what you're seeing that's behind you. Amen? Are you listening to me? That little mirror is there so you can look back and see what you've done and went by. And see what's trying to come up behind you. But that big window there is so that you can go to your destination without hindrance. Praise God. So what you want to do is you want to keep your eyes on that big window of who you are in Christ Jesus and what he's got for you. Every now and then, take a glance in the mirror and say, "Whoo, it's so good. I'm not that before. That's behind me. Hallelujah." And you know what's a good thing about that little mirror? You keep going and going and going, and after a while, that stuff that you could see, you can't see it anymore because it's so far out behind you that you can even look in the mirror and can't see it anymore. Amen? Amen. Come on. There are things that I did back whenever I was in sin that I can look in that mirror and I can't even see them anymore. They're so far out of my life. Amen. And so the first thing, if I'm going to walk with the Lord and fulfill His goal in my life and become a fisher of men, winning people and bringing them to Christ and expanding the kingdom of God, is this. I have to make it real in my life. It's got to be real in me first. I've got to get a hold of this. I've got to live this, praise God. Then the second truth is this. Notice that the apostle writing here in verses 18 and 19 and 20, he says this. He says, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with Himself. Now listen to this next part. And gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. Notice that? He didn't say, and He gave this ministry to the apostles. He said He gave this ministry to who? The church at Corinth, praise God. And what is it that He gave us? A ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people back into harmony with Himself. Notice He says this in verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors, making His appeal, as it were, through us. We are Christ's personal representatives. Notice that. We're out here representing Jesus Christ. So what's the second part of this that you get hold of? The second truth? You take what God has done for you and share with others. That you take it out and tell others and you witness to others. And notice He said that you're to do it by word and deed. Meaning what? You have to live it as well as tell it. You can't just go out in word and be a witness for Jesus. You have to do it in deed. In other words, they have to see in you what you're telling them. Amen? Listen to what He says in verses 19 and 20 in the Message Bible. I like this too. It says, God put the world square with Himself through the Messiah. I like that. He squared it. Hallelujah. Giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. Now listen to this. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. I'm going to say it again. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He is doing. It's up to us to tell the world what God is doing. Notice this next part. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making them right between them. God uses us. We're Christ's representatives. And God uses us to tell people, get your life right. Get hooked up with what God's work is. Notice what He says next. We're speaking for Christ Himself. Now, become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Ooh, hallelujah. Isn't that right? See, you know, here's the thing, folks. The message that Paul is trying to get across is the same one that Jesus was trying to get across to us when He was here. The Spirit of God continues to progressively teach us more and more and more. We don't go out and tell people, you dirty, nasty old sinner, you need to repent and straighten out your life and come to church and get saved. Well, if you could do that, you wouldn't need Jesus. Amen. Well, what is the good news? The good news is this. Everything you're doing, Jesus already paid the price for you to be set free from, and all you have to do is come and receive it. That's the good news. The good news is this. The work's already been done. All you have to do is accept it. The good news is God already loves you. He already is your friend. He's already blotted out your transgressions. He's no longer holding them against you, and your sins are blotted out. Now what you've got to do is come to God and just receive the free gift of eternal life that He's given you and make it a part of your life and come on and live for Jesus. Because you see, salvation is a free gift. It's not something you earn or work for or get good enough. You just receive it. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, you're saved by grace through faith and not of works, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. It's a gift. And we went out and tried to preach people, you know, down into hell and back up to heaven. But you see, what we've got to do is go out and tell them the good news. Listen, Jesus already paid the price for you to be free. He's already done. He's wiped your sin. And you know what the sad part is? If people die in their sin and go to hell, they go there with their sins having already been paid for to be free from. Amen. And you see, religion is like you going to the store and your best friend just went in before you and paid all the money up front so you could have all the groceries. And you go up to the clerk and you put your groceries on there and they tell you it's okay, it's free, it's already been paid for. And you get in a fight with them because you want to pay it. Bless God, I'm paying this. I got $100. I'll pay for it right here. No, it's already been paid for. Oh, no, I've got to do it. No, that's religion. Religion is always telling you that you got to pay for it. But you know what grace does and what God says? God says, no, Jesus already came. He already bore your sins. He's already taken your place. He's already wiped this out. In fact, I've judged everything you've ever done in Christ. All you've got to do is receive Christ in your heart and live for Him. And I'll count what Jesus did for you. And that's the good news we have to tell people, that we want to bring them to Christ. We want you to know that God has already opened the door for you to come out of your sin. You don't have to try to get good enough to come out. Just accept Jesus, and He'll begin to clean your life up. See, a lot of times we put the cart before the horse, as they used to say. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know what you need to do, don't you? You need to clean your life up. You need to quit doing all that stuff, and you need to give your heart to God. Duh. Why don't we do it this way? You need to give your heart to God and He'll help you clean up your life. He'll help you to get things straightened up and He'll make it right for you. Hallelujah. Amen. See, that's the good news, is come to Jesus just like you are and let Him begin to help you get control of your life and bring you out of the bondage that sin had you in. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying this, that God was already in Christ doing the work to bring you into harmony with Himself. Now all you've got to do is accept Christ in your life. Receive Jesus in your life. But notice that the Bible says here that we have to win them, and like I said, in both word and deed, as we read up here earlier in verse 18, that by word and deed we might bring others into harmony. In other words, nobody's going to believe you if your lifestyle is as bad as theirs. If the church is as carnal as the world, who's going to believe you? Amen. There ought to be a change take place in my life. It has to be a change. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you something, folks. I can't tell you about you, but I can tell you about me. When I made Jesus Lord and really made Jesus Lord of my life, I changed. There was a change took place in me. My want-tos changed. My personality changed. Everything about me changed. I was a good person before, according to the world standard. But I'd still do the wrong thing, mess you up, out for number one. Amen. But whenever I gave my heart to Jesus, you know, it's just like, you know, Brother Hagin tells a story how he was ministering at a little country church when he first started. And he said he had an evangelist come in, and he said the best person in the church came forward at the evangelist's invitation for salvation and said the whole church was shocked. Said, in fact, he'd stayed at his home before he got married, and he was staying in his home when he'd go out and preach every weekend. And he said, he went to him and said, this is for salvation. He said, that's right. And he said, you're coming up here to get saved. He said, that's right. He said, okay. So the guy led him through the sinner's prayer. He asked Jesus in his heart, gave his heart to the Lord. And Brother Hagin went to him later on. He said, well, my goodness, you're already the best person in church. He said, well, yeah, but my mama taught me old-time holiness. She taught me I should live holy, treat people right, never say the wrong thing, live right and do right. And he said, but I never did really give my heart to the Lord. Now, here's a good man. Didn't have a whole lot against him, but you know what? His heart still needed to be changed by Jesus Christ. And so Brother Hagin said, you know, you're talking about back in the 30s, 1930s. And so you know, he said he went down to the local grocery store where everybody'd sit and hang out and everybody would talk, you know. And so he said, I went down there and I walked in the store and they's all sitting around there. And he said he was the talk of the town on Monday the next day. And he said, you know, he said they was talking about, can you believe so-and-so? He went forward and got saved. Well, he's the best man in town. And then Brother Hagin said, I listened to him for a little bit, and he said, and I said, can you tell any difference? And he said, the store owner says, you know, he came in this morning, and he said, you know, that night you bring it up, little preacher. He said, you know, I could. There was a difference in his eyes, just a light that wasn't there before. And you know, he's always nice, but there was just something about his voice that was different today. Because you see, it don't matter even if you're a good person, you're still not where you need to be with God. You still need reconciled and brought back in harmony with God and a change in your heart. And we've got to get that to the world. See, it's easy whenever somebody's been out here and they've been in sin, all kinds of crazy stuff, and their life's a mess, and they give their lives to the Lord and you see a change. But folks, everybody, good and bad, need to hear this good news that Jesus Christ will bring you into harmony with God. In favor with God, and change your heart, change your life, change your spiritual life, and make you a child of God. But you see, they need to see that indeed in our lives, as well as hearing it in word when we share it with them. Amen? They need to see us living what we're trying to share with them. In fact, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to Timothy, a young minister, but the same advice he gives Timothy is good advice to you and me. In 1 Timothy 4:12, he says this, "Let no one despise your youth." Notice that? In other words, don't let people look down on you, because we could say it like this. Maybe you're a young Christian or a new Christian. Well, don't let people look at you and say you don't have anything to say. Amen? Or you're a young person. He says, don't let them despise you or look down on you. And now here's how you do it. But be an example. In other words, he says, don't get in there and try to defend yourself and tell everybody you're as spiritual as they are. He says, no, here's how you stop people from not having respect for your walk and for your testimony. He said, here's how you get their respect. Here's how you get people to believe that you've got something for God. He says, here's what you do. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. In other words, he says, if you want people to respect you as a Christian, be an example in these areas. Let them see the word of God in your life. Let them see how you conduct yourself. Let them see that you walk in love. Let them see that you walk in a spirit of faith and you walk in the anointing of God and that you're doing what's right. Praise the Lord. And then he says, till I come, here's how you become an example in those areas. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation and doctrine. In other words, he says, you want to grow up in these things? Here's what you do. Give attention to reading the word. Give attention to exhortation. In other words, listen to what God has to say in preaching. And he says, in other words, in doctrine or teaching, get a hold of the teaching of the word of God. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. See, when you get born again, God gives you a gift. He gives you an anointing. He gives you something that you personally can do. He says, learn to develop that, praise God, which was given you by prophecy through the laying on of hands. Then he says this in verse 15. He says, meditate on these things. Ponder them. Think about these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident. In other words, that people can see you growing. In other words, if I give myself to working on my conduct, if I give myself to working on learning the word and walking in love and learning to be led by the Spirit and using my faith and purity and being right and being honest, and if I give myself to hearing the word and studying the word and growing in the word, meditate on that, and people will begin to see that I'm growing in my walk with God. You know what he's saying? He's saying you need to build you up in Christ and make sure that you're living what you want other people to get. Come on. Then look what he says. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Now, why is this so important that I live this? For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Woo. What's that mean? He says, instead of people despising you and saying you a lousy hypocrite Christian and putting you down and saying, well, I don't want anything like you, because they don't see it in your life, they'll see it in your life and they'll listen to you, and people will see that God's working in your life, and it'll not only bless you, but you'll be able to save them and bring them to Christ also. Come on, folks, isn't this good news? This is the ultimate goal of the Lord Jesus Christ for your life. And you ought to want to do this. Listen, I went after the Holy Ghost. I wanted to be a witness for Jesus. That's what I said, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power if the Holy Ghost comes upon you and shall be witnesses unto me. I want to tell you something, folks. Whenever I was in college, before I even got, I would stand. I found a Christian bookstore. See, all this was new to me. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know where I could get a Bible. I didn't own a Bible when I gave my life to the Lord. Didn't. We went to the church and been going there for 2 or 3 weeks down in Tennessee where I was playing ball. Bonnie and I had gotten married. We went to the church. They had communion service on the first Sunday, and I didn't know what they were doing. I'd never seen a communion service before. Sad to say. I asked Bonnie, I said, what are they doing? She goes, I don't know. She said, they're having communion. I said, what's communion? She goes, you know, it's bread in the cup. I said, the bread in the cup of what? She goes, the body and the blood of Jesus. I said, blood. She goes, no, it's bread and wine. I said, they drink wine in this church? She goes, she said, just watch and listen. He'll teach you. Amen. I didn't know anything about the church. I didn't know anything. You know how we got, I've told the story before. They had, back in those days, you could get S&H green stamps at certain places where you shop. And they had redemption stores. And after you got so many, you fill up a book. And for a book and a half, you could get a Bible. And Bonnie and I got a book and a half of S&H green stamps, went in and found us and bought us a Bible. That's the only place I knew you could get one. You know, it's so sad. I was going to that church, gave my heart to the Lord, and got to know the pastor, and they never did offer me a Bible. I didn't know you could get a Bible at the church, because no church I'd ever went to ever offered me a Bible. That's sad, ain't it? Huh? I'll be honest with you. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I didn't give my heart to the Lord in a church. I gave my heart to the Lord in a dorm room on the campus of East Tennessee State with two of my friends. You know why I gave my heart to the Lord? Because I had an experience with Him, and I went to these guys and said, I need to get saved. You know what they did? They took me right to Romans 10, 9, and 10. I never saw Romans 10, 9, and 10. I didn't know there was a Romans 9, 10, 9, and 10. You know what Romans 10, 9, and 10 is? That if you'll confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And they said, there, you need to give your heart to Jesus, and here's how you do it. You believe Jesus was raised from the dead? Yes. Then confess Him as your Lord, accept Him in your heart, and God will save you. And I did, bless God, right there on my knees in that room. And then I started witnessing to people. I found a Christian bookstore. I didn't know they had such things. Hallelujah. And I got me some tracts. And I went right over and stood right in the crossway where everybody went through campus. And I would stand there and pray, God, show me the right person that I need to give this tract to and pray with today. And you know what? I'd stand there in my lunch hour and wait and wait and wait. And then somebody would come and stop. And the Lord would say, go talk to them. I'd walk over, pull my tract out, and hand it to them. Amen. Start talking to them. I led a lot of people to Jesus right there on the campus. And this is before I was ever even thinking about preaching. This was just me so excited that I was no longer doing drugs. I was no longer drinking. I was no longer partying. I was no longer running around here being crazy and getting in trouble and losing out on everything I'd worked for. And God had changed my life and set me free that I was just so excited. I wanted everybody else to experience this freedom and joy that I had. Then I realized I needed more, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God. And I didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost so I could speak in tongues. I get to speak in tongues, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost because Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you and shall be a witness. And I said, whoo, glory to God. If it'll help me be a bigger witness, I want that. See, everything in your life that you're wanting from God ought to be to bring His ultimate goal in your life, to make you a greater witness to somebody else so that God can work in your life to bless people. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? I don't want things just so I can enjoy it. I want these things so God can work it in my life and help somebody else. And that's Christianity, folks. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to this earth for Himself. He lived this life to show us it could be done. And then He brought us in and showed us why He came. And that was so that we could be free. Jesus didn't come to heal Himself. He came to heal us. He didn't come to save Himself. He came to save us. He didn't come to deliver Himself. He came to deliver us. Everything about Jesus is for somebody else. And you know the great thing about this teaching I'm giving you? The Bible says in Matthew 6, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, in other words, Amplified says, His right way of doing things, then all these things that you need in your life shall be added unto you. The best way to get God's blessing in your life is try to be a blessing to somebody else. And take this gospel to them. And walk in this truth and live this truth. No, but it's got to be in word and deed. We got to get out of just talking a good game. They need to see the game. It's the seeing the game that makes them want to hear about the game. Amen? Even in sports, you got a team. Say it's a football team and it's they play 10 games in high school. Say it's a high school. And they win the first five games. They're up there in the top rankings of the state. And everybody's talking about how many points they score and how many. You know what? You keep hearing about all that's going on. And all of a sudden you go, you know, I might need to go watch that. I might go one of them games. I want to go see if they're as good as they really say they are. And you go to the game and they blow somebody out. And you go, you leave here going, whoa, they're as good as they said they were. Word and deed. You see it and then you want to tell somebody about it. People need to see God doing a work in our lives. But let's don't stop there. Let's tell them what God is doing and that He won't just do it for us. He'll do it for them. He'll help them, praise God. Look in Acts chapter 2. This was the key and the success of the early church, folks. This is why they turned the world upside down and had great success of changing, you know, everything. They changed the ancient world. Amen. They went from pagan religions ruling the Roman Empire to the Roman Empire declaring Christianity was the religion of the world. Now, how is it that they did that? Because you couldn't shut them up. You couldn't kill them. You couldn't stop. In Acts chapter 8, they come into Jerusalem. They say, the best way to stop this is we'll just splatter them and scatter them. And so they come in, and they just come in, you know, they're persecuted. They're going, in other words, they're going to come in and shut down the church. And the Bible says, and they were scattered everywhere. And they all went out preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Everywhere they went, they just went out preaching it. Just kept on. I mean, and all of a sudden now, instead of just being in one place, they're out everywhere preaching the thing. And city after city, people after people, lives are being changed because they had something that was so real in their life that you couldn't stop them from talking about it. Acts chapter 4, Peter is preaching and they bring him in. And you know, Acts 3, he got the lame man healed. And in Acts 4, they bring him before the leaders and they say, how did you do this? And he stands up and he says, you want to know how I did it? Through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And there is another name under this earth that'll save you, deliver you, and set you free. And they walk back and they say, well, you know, the guy did a miracle, so we can't really say anything. Let's just threaten him real bad and tell him don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. So they bring him in, tell him that, and Peter looks at him and says, should we obey God or you? And you know what they do? They go straight back to their own company and gather everybody and say, let's pray. God, give us power and boldness to witness. They think they heard us talking before. God, let us talk even more. They think they're going to shut us up because they're threatening us. God, give us strength and courage and boldness to stand right in their face and live it right in their face and walk this thing out. Let them know that we're in and nobody's going to get us out. See, that's where God is wanting to bring His church today, folks. That's the ultimate goal of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, somebody receives what you have to say or somebody threatens you because of what you say, you refuse to quit saying it. I'm not going to stop saying it because I'm not going to stop living it. I'm going to live it, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to live it, and I'm going to tell it. And you know what? For every person that don't want to hear it, there's somebody that's going to want to hear it. And for every person that threatens me, there's hundreds more that's going to join in with me. Hallelujah. Because this is God's purpose for saving me, to bring me into the kingdom and then make me a fisher of a different style, a different kind, to make me a catcher and a fisher of people, to bring them into this thing. Look what he says in Acts chapter 2, verse, pick it up down here around verse 40. And it says, and with many other words, this is Peter preaching, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. In other words, that's what we need here today, don't it? Get saved from the generation you live. Don't let the generation determine your eternity. Don't let the sin that's around you determine who you are. Get saved from it. Make Jesus Lord of your life. You know what these people did? Look what the next verse says. Then those who gladly received the word. Notice that they gladly received. I mean, they were excited to hear this. I mean, you know, to a drowning man, the drum of a motorboat is a really nice sound to you. Amen. The splash of a float being thrown at you. That's a really good sound. They gladly received what they was hearing, man. And you know what they did? Look what it says. And they were baptized. And look what it says. And about 3,000 souls were added to theirs. 3,000 people. 3,000 people. Now, what did these 3,000 do? They all got saved, and then they all went off and did their own thing. No, that's the modern church. They all got saved, got baptized, and then you didn't see them in church for the next 6 months. No, that's not it either. Because you see, it became a real thing to them. It became a reality in their life. They didn't just go get religion. They didn't just go forward and make a Sunday morning prayer commitment. They made a lifestyle change commitment. They made a consecration to God commitment. They became kingdom people. Kingdom of God people. And look what happens here. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. You know what that means? They got in the Word. Man, once they got saved, they wanted to find out who they were. They got into the doctrine of the apostles. They got into the Word. And then it says what? It says, and they broke bread with each other. Praise God. They fellowship with each other. In other words, they got in the Word and got involved. Listen to me, if we're going to shake nations today and win our communities, we have to get involved. You have to get saved, but then you have to embrace salvation. You have to embrace Christianity. You have to get involved in Christianity. Amen? Let's read on down. Verse 43, then fear came upon every one of them, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Notice that? And all who believed were together. In other words, they came into unity. They all had one purpose, one goal. They began to understand what they were there for, praise God. We're here to support each other, help each other, and win as many people to Jesus as we can. Now notice what let's drop down to verse 46 and read it. He says this, so continuing daily, in other words, they didn't just live it on Sunday, they were living it 24/7. See, folks, if Christianity doesn't become our lifestyle, we'll never be a witness for Jesus. You've got to live this thing. It's got to be real in you before you can share it with anybody else. It's not something you can turn on and turn off. It's not something that you do part-time. They continually, daily, look at that. We're in the temple. Breaking bread from house to house, and they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Notice what he goes on down here, and he says this, verse 47, praising God. In other words, they and you got to remember what's this group we're talking about? They're under Roman oppression. It's tough times. Society is hard. I mean, it's not an easy time to be alive. And look what they're doing. They're in the Word. They're fellowshipping with each other. They're encouraging each other. They're in temple. In other words, they're in church holding services with each other. They're living this thing. Christianity has become a lifestyle, not a doctrine. It's a lifestyle. They lived it 24/7. They lived it in church. They lived it at home. They weren't Christians on Sunday morning and just like everybody else Monday through Saturday. They lived this thing. They walked it out. See, God has called us into a ministry of reconciliation both in word and deed that we might reconcile. In other words, we have to live it as well as talk it. Now let's read on. Look what he says. He says, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now what happened? And the Lord added to the church daily. That means they were living this thing daily. Those who were being saved. You know what happened? People were living in the same hard times they were living in. Just like people today are living in the same hard times we live in. People then were dealing with the same struggles that they were dealing with and they had been brought out of. But all of a sudden, all these people that are going through the hardships of life, they come along and there goes, wait a minute. Is that Tony and Jesse? What happened to you? What? Well, you look different. And you haven't been down doing all this stuff. And when we talk to you, you're positive. And you got a good attitude. How can you be happy? Look what's going on. I mean, you came same thing we did. I mean, you're just as bad as we were. What's going on in your life anyway? You know what they did? They began to share Jesus with them. I'll tell you what happened to me. I heard this truth that Jesus Christ came to this world as Savior, Messiah, and He died for my sins. And you know what? I asked Him into my heart, and I am so free, and my life is so changed. And I want to tell you, God is doing such great things in my life. In fact, let me introduce you to this friend over here and this friend over here. You know what? We all came through different things. They had this going on. He had this going on. She had that going on. And you know what? Jesus loved us all just like we were. And we're all different. In fact, we didn't like each other before we met Jesus. And now all of a sudden, we're going to church together, we're worshiping together, we're praying to God together, we're supporting each other, we're helping each other. Man, life is good. Hallelujah. Would you like to receive Jesus? Could I? You sure can. How can I do it? All you have to do is believe that He died for your sins and God raised Him from the dead and ask Him in your heart and confess Him as your Lord. And you can have what we have. Will you help me? Yes. Say this. Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died for my sins. And You were raised from the dead. And You're Lord. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me from my sins. And be my Lord. I receive You into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I confess before all that Jesus Christ is now my Lord. Amen. And then all of a sudden they acted just like you did right now. Because you can't say those simple words from your heart and it not change your life. Because the master of those words is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, overseeing those words to make sure that when you act upon them, His salvation comes into your life. Amen. He's there, watching over it, making sure that your reconciliation to God is complete, making sure that you're brought back into favor with God, making sure that the devil has to take his hands off of your life, and you're now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And what is God's ultimate goal? Is to take you from that moment when it became real to you to the place where you can now bring it to a reality of someone else. Amen? Amen. That now you are producing results in the kingdom of God and bringing lives out of darkness into light and out of struggle into God's mercy and grace. Amen? Amen. That's the church's goal. That's God's goal, and that's what we're going to move into. Amen? That's the next move of the Holy Spirit, church, is you letting God work in you such a work that people see it in your life, and it opens the door for you to share God's love and grace to them. Amen? Amen. And you get to bring them into it.